Craig, you know, any excuse I have to throw in some holiday music, even now at the beginning of November.
Oh, that's fine. Sure. Yeah.
Though I always consider Perry Como's song, Home for the Holidays, a universal holiday song.
Because really?
It doesn't have a Christmas reference in it. He just basically talks coming home for the holidays. Like the
I met a man who
traveling around, whether you're coming for the holidays. Well, you know, when you're preparing people coming over, you're going to put some food together, make a spread, make it impressive for some folks. What if I could get you some help from an Iron Chef or somebody who knows all about cooking? We've got with us Alex Garnaschelli, who's a celebrity chef. She's an Iron Chef winner. Also, I watch her frequently as on Chopped. I miss, by the way, Alex, your Alex's Day Off show that you were doing for a while. I always enjoyed that one.
Yeah, me too. You know, that was really fun to make. Bobby Flay produced that show, and it kind of really did feel like a day off, even though I was working.
Yeah. Well, it was a very different personality that people get to see. A lot of times when you're an Iron Chef, you're very steel-eyed, you know, you're competing, or as a judge, you're kind of obviously giving advice and judging, but when you get a chance to kind of share things like we're doing now, it's kind of fun to see what kind of things you can bring to us. Let's talk some things for the holidays. What kind of a thing should we keep in mind when we're putting together some holiday food or, you know, special things for the holidays?
Well, you know, this is actually my fourth year partnering with Fisher Nuts, so I've obviously got a little bit of that on the brain, and I do associate lots of really great desserts, for example, as something that you want to spruce up your holiday table. For example, my mother makes, you know, a pecan, pumpkin, and apple pie for Thanksgiving, but she never addresses chocolate. So I'm really into my chocolate walnut layer cake right now, which is just layers of cake frosted with a chocolate buttercream and topped with these candied orange peels and just lots of toasted walnuts. There's walnuts baked into the layers of the cake, too. And that's just something that has that wow factor that I really love. I love just getting some tart shells pre-made and just making a little bit of a filling and baking something like a goat cheese filling, like just some eggs and a little bit of cream and milk and some goat cheese and just baking that and topping that with some pecans for crunch. I think texture is really important when you're cooking for the holidays. You want to think about having something crunchy, something supple, something rich, something light, you know, just kind of mixing it up.
When you're looking at these recipes, are these ingredients that you think ought to be in there? Is it through experimentation that you find something really tasty?
Totally. I mean, let me just say, when they say never trust a skinny chef, I mean, there's got to be a reason behind that. I think there's always got to be a lot of research that goes into a final product. And I will cook something sometimes 10, 20, 30 times, and then on 30th time say, wow, now I really feel like I got this. And then some things just come together really nicely. That's why for things like my chocolate walnut layer cake or a pumpkin pecan cheesecake or a raspberry walnut cobbler, you've got opportunity to follow a recipe to the letter. But with savory cooking, you know, you have more room where things can happen. You need more salt. You want to add a little bit more pepper. You want to make it a little sweeter. You want to make it a little more savory. So when there's more room like that, you know, there's got to be more experimentation.
Yeah, definitely a difference between cooking and baking. There's certain ingredients in baking that have to work, otherwise the chemistry is not going to be there.
But, oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, and you know, when you pull that cake out of the oven and you forgot the baking powder or whatever else, happy holidays.
That's right. A doormat is what you can basically make out of that,
yeah,
I suppose.
That's a good one. I was going to say doorstop. Well, a fruitcake can make a really good doorstop, but yes.
Yeah, or a chew toy for your Labrador, depending, I suppose. That works as well.
I think I'm usually the chew toy for my Labrador, but okay. I'll give that some thought.
You know, talked about ingredients before, and I want to mention a little bit about you on as one of the judges on Chopped. You know,
sure.
The people who are the ladies who are cooking, they're the ones that have to deal with the ingredients. You're the one that has to actually eat it. Do you ever look at some of those ingredients and think, well, I can see some of those, but I'm the one that's going to have to try it. I certainly hope they're successful in their recipes.
Oh, my God, all the time. I mean, that's something that, you know, we kind of, they open the basket and the judges look at each other and say, oh, my God, my stomach, thank God I had some toast. You know, it is something that we definitely consider. And then sometimes they open the basket and we're super excited about a really beautiful ingredient they have in there and hoping that somebody kind of, in a way, leaves it a little unadulterated, you know, so that you can really enjoy it, like a beautiful steak or something that's a privilege to eat. So it's all mixed emotions. You know, we get anything from gummy worms to Kobe beefsteaks. So, you know, things, you know, have different levels. Some mornings I just say, oh, my God, there's going to be a live animal, or they're going to open it and it's going to have, like, eye of newt. So we really just never know what's gonna be in there. So it can be challenging. I'm not going to lie to you.
Now, obviously, you're taking small samples, and just for maybe a little behind the scenes, is one show spread over how many?
We shoot one show a day.
Okay.
And, you know, that's enough.
Right. I guess for that, absolutely.
It takes an average of 12 hours to shoot one episode, 10 to 12 hours.
Wow. It's like those reductions where you kind of have to start out with a lot and then get to something really good over time. You mentioned about nuts a lot, and one of the things that I have, what do I do with the nuts? How do I store them? You buy a lot of them sometimes and you use them for a recipe, and you're thinking, okay, what's the best way to keep these so that they're as fresh or as tasty as the time I bought them?
I mean, that's such a great question because, you know, you often buy a bag of nuts that you intend to use for cooking and eating both, and you don't use them all in one sitting. So the one wonderful thing about Fisher Nuts in particular is they have these resealable plastic bags. The packaging is such that you can open it up, take a bunch out, and then just seal it back up. I like to keep nuts in the refrigerator or even the freezer because if you know you're going to have them there, like maybe for a couple of weeks or whatever else, they actually are stored better at a cooler temperature. So I definitely recommend that. But more than anything, it's also that Fisher Nuts, they don't use any preservatives. So you open the bag and all you get is the nut and nothing more. And that's one of my favorite things about it. So, but that being said, because there are no preservatives and they're not loaded up with anything like that, all the more reason why if you're not going to use them all, pop them in the door of your fridge or even in the freezer and then take them out and open that bag and use them when you want. And that way you're not worrying. Because, you know, nuts can be expensive, and you definitely want to use them all. And that's the best way. So they keep for a really long time like that. And then, I mean, my other recommendation is, if you don't know how to store them, you're just going to have to eat them all.
Well, that's good. And a lot of times they say there's, you know, health values for a lot of the different nuts, too.
Oh, my God, absolutely. One of my favorite things, honestly, is that I will eat a handful of walnuts and feel satisfied. And that's not something I can say about a lot of other foods. I like that feeling that I've eaten something good. I love just making my own trail mix with some raisins and whatever nuts I feel like, maybe some. I even, if I make a little trail mix that I know I'm going to eat that day, I'll mix fresh grapes and raisins in with the nuts so that there's a lot of different textures and stuff. There's nothing like getting a fresh grape in the middle of a handful of other things. You know, it's just kind of cool.
Where can we go to find out maybe some about that chocolate cake layer, walnut layer cake recipe or other things related to this?
I thought we were talking about healthy handfuls of nuts. All of a sudden you got back to that chocolate cake very quickly, I noticed. You can go to fishernuts.com/Alex. I have my own section on the Fisher Nuts website, and you can catch a lot of the recipes there. And we have appetizers and snacks, main courses, sides, and then, of course, I can tell where you're going to go, the desserts.
Absolutely with that. Of course, doing the chocolate walnut layer cake, there's always that bowl of frosting at the end that you get to lick. That's the key to a successful cake dessert, I believe.
Well, it sounds like I'm not shocked.
Exactly. Very much so. Alex Garnaschelli, a celebrity chef, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate all the tips you gave us today. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.